We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus USA.
We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome the program. Caregiver Dave. Dave, how are you? And like I said, every Great. Week we have unbelievable conversations with such amazing people. And I know you're a fan of this guy for sure.
Yeah, Dukes of Hazzard. I want to introduce today John Schneider.
Hey.
He's an actor, country music singer. He's best known for his portrayal of Beauregard, Bo Duke, in the American television action comedy The Dukes of Hazzard, opposite Tom Wopat, Catherine Bach, and James Best. And we've interviewed Catherine on this show. She's awesome. And I hear you're a great guy. And you've done other things like Smallville and something in Superman and the Haves and the Have-Nots, created by Tyler Perry. What a career. Wow, you should be proud of yourself.
Well, you know, I'm just getting started. I truly am. I'm finally gaining some traction.
And you're still a young man. You've got that over us, so good for you.
No, well, bless your tired eyes.
compared to us,
you are, well, I don't know about Neil over there, but compared to me, you are a young man.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, you know, it's so great. So great to be on here. I just interrupted you. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, John, I'm 47, so I don't know why he's aging me into the 60s like Dave.
There so you go.
I got something.
Always reminds me how young he is.
And how crazy.
That's not fair. That's dirty pool right there. But yeah, we're celebrating.
I used to be 47.
Yeah, that's the difference between he and us, is we used to be his age. I tried to explain that to my kids. That's why your father is so much smarter than you are, because I've been 16 and you've not, at that point, you've not been 47. But sadly, it fell on deaf ears. Listen, guys, I'm so excited about what's going on out here. I'm in Louisiana.
Okay.
And we're planning my birthday party, you know, so I'm not going to sneak into 60. Thank you. I'm not going to sneak into 60. I'm going to roar into 60 with our event here we do called Bo's Extravaganza. And that's what we're getting ready for right now. And we just had a Ferris wheel delivered. We've got just fun stuff. But enough about me. Let's talk about you.
Now, so I'm going to go.
What do you think about
me? It doesn't work that way. And you're an author. Congratulations. Yeah. I'm an author working on my fourth book. So
That's
My Life, choice. My Way. That's a great title. It's hard coming up with a title.
I know. Well, see, I'm also I also record, so that actually is the title of one of my songs. So I've got a whole bunch of great
well, that
song
makes it
titles
even better
to pull from. Yeah. So that makes it a little bit easier. But I tell you, there've been so many half truths and so many truths and so many things that are just not true at all about Dukes of Hazzard and working on that and working in Hollywood in the 70s and 80s and Smallville. And so I decided to write a book basically saying, okay, here's what you've heard and here's what's true and here's what's not true. Did I skip school and sneak onto the set of Smokey and the Bandit and get in the movie in 1976? Yes, I did. And what was that like? So I talk about that and how that led to us doing our latest movie, which is called Stand On It, which is a tribute to Smokey and the Bandit. Did I bring a six-pack of beer to my audition for Dukes of Hazzard and drink it in the waiting room? Yes, I did.
Boy.
So, yeah, so it's a fun book. It's me explaining to people how you have to go for it. If you have a dream, if you have a goal,
right,
if you believe you have a design, and I believe we all do,
yes,
no one is going to work your plan for you.
Absolutely.
You've got
right.
to do it, right?
Absolutely,
so you've written
right.
four books. Nobody's going to write those books for you. You've
That's
got
right.
to do it.
And, I shared and, the stage with Ice-T over at Carnegie Hall recently.
Oh, and terrific.
That's one thing he says. He said, you know, nobody's going to wake up with your dream. You got to do it. And
absolutely.
That is so true. That is so
you
true.
You know, and people, a lot of times people, and this is part of the book too, people say, well, you know, give me some advice. What's the secret? And sadly, kind of like golf, the secret is skill. and hard work.
Definitely.
And
yeah.
practice.
It's so true.
You've got to do it. And the people that will get most in your way, oddly enough, they are people who don't like you. They are dreamless creatures who don't want someone to succeed. That's kind of like the crabs in a bucket theory with it.
I just didn't mention that.
You'll never get out of the bucket because the crabs will be yeah. climbing up your back.
Yeah. And, hey, where are you going? You think you're better than us? Hey,
that's right.
Let
me climb. I'm going to use you to climb out of this mess, right?
Exactly.
But the most dangerous one for me is we used to call it friendly fire. It's people who love you, who discourage you because they don't want you to be disappointed when you fail.
Yeah, like they failed. Yeah.
Exactly. And I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I don't fail at anything. I discover a new way it doesn't work.
And that's so true. And John, I think that the thing is we got to watch those naysayers and what they say. Where did you learn that from? Who kind of ingrained that in you? Because, John, after your career in acting, you don't have to do all these projects. You're always promoting. You're writing books. You're producing things. You're creating things. You're an entrepreneur in so many ways. You could have just been an actor, right? What in your mindset made you want to do all these things?
Well, I'm a musical theater brat, and when you're 12 years old in musical theater, you have to sing and dance and build sets and do makeup and hang lights, and I mean you've got to everybody has to do everything because it's a community effort. You know, we are a team of people doing a show. So I never lost sight of that, but I also had, and this is in the book a bit too, my dad had his own business and was putting a new radio in his V-tail Bonanza airplane when he was 85, when he had his stroke that killed him.
Wow.
He worked hard and he loved every minute of it. Never let go of his dream, always lived his dream. However, my mother was talked out of her dream when she was in high school and lamented that fact and was kind of angry and bitter her whole life and passed away that way. Mm. So I watched the power of a dream keep somebody not only going, but going strong. And I saw the anchor of a dream left by the wayside drag someone down. So given a choice, I'd rather be the dreamer. And so I saw that. I saw that my whole life. And then when I met Alicia we pass by the Energizer Bunny several times a day. I probably five or six times. She 20. So I've never met anyone who could outwork or outdream me. And when I did, I married her. So we are, we call ourselves the team to beat, TTB. And we've been up against a whole bunch of crazy things and we are going strong and loving life, making movies, doing music, touring with music, putting on outdoor festivals. And I want to stress our big, our third annual Bose Extravaganza is an outdoor festival, and I know a lot of folks are afraid to go go to places where the public meets, but I think that's basically indoors at this point. I think people are afraid of recycled air. And guess what? We're learning that our not only our parents but our grandparents were right. Wash your hands, Dutta. And so, hand sanitizer ain't it.
So
hand
true.
Sanitizer ain't it. Soap, water, and warm water, by the way.
Wow, okay.
And you're in. I mean, we used to know that. We used to know that. Somehow we've lost track of a lot of our intelligence. But anyway, I think we're gaining it back. So I'm excited about life. I'm excited about our festival, excited about the book. We even have we're branding all kinds of things. We've jumped into because we had a very serious cancer scare in our family here, and one of the things we were turned on to was CBD oil. And I don't know where anybody stands on that, but I believe that our CBD oil, and actually we call ours CBOD for Dukes of Hazzard. I mean, why not? It's called Yeehaw. Yeehaw.
Yeah,
everybody needs a little yeehaw every now and then.
I use CBD oil.
Oh, we love it. We love it. And I think what happened, what it did, is it kind of leveled the playing surface so that the medication Alicia was on and the dietary changes and the different things we did. Basically, we Googled cancer and said, what does cancer like? And we stopped doing all of that. And what does cancer detest? And we started doing all of that. But at the basis of it was our CBD oil. And I do think that made it so that her body was more receptive to all the good things we started doing and all the bad things we stopped doing. My opinion. I'm not a doctor. However, I have played one on TV. I played just about everything on TV.
Smells like apple pie or something. What?
Yeah, ours is in the true spirit of branding. Ours is apple pie moonshine. So not only does it smell like apple pie, but it tastes like apple pie. Because since you're a CBD oil user, so am I. A lot of it can taste like you just licked a lawnmower blade.
Right. So true, and, so true. Those essential oils smell like, oh my gosh, and the different things. So,
well, yeah, there's part of us believes that the worse it tastes, the better it must be for us. And
exactly.
I don't believe that personally.
No, I don't either.
I think the better it tastes, the better it tastes.
So John,
free now.
Good.
We have a clear PET scan, and 8 months ago it was looked a lot like a Christmas tree, and now we're clear. She's still taking. There's a medication called Ibrance that she's on, and I'm looking at her right now. She's smiling. We are going to take a rare couple of hours off today and go play golf. Mm-hmm. Because we've got a beautiful day here in Louisiana.
Beautiful game, but hard game, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All you got to do is hit the ball.
I know. How hard could that be?
Yeah,
but like I said, success and golf are similar. Sadly, they both require skill.
Now, John, give me, I guess, some – we talked about how it's going to be safe. You guys got to come out to the festival, but give us some hope as entrepreneurs. What's happened in our country in the last couple of weeks and you know what you've seen as a promoter and stuff, and give entrepreneurs hope. I think we need that.
Well, I tell you,
we have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
If you have an outdoor festival, if you have a farmer's market, if you have a strawberry festival, which we've got here in Ponchatoula, promote the fact that it's outdoors. You know, I think people are really making a big mistake when they just decide that all public gathering is bad. No one has said that. In fact, if you listen to the news, the real honest to God news, they'll say, I heard something yesterday. They said, well, What is it like? Some people say it's kind of like the common cold or the flu. And the expert said, well, yes, it is. It's a lot like that. You know, it's like several strains of flu. And they said the reason it's so hard to detect is because the symptoms are so minimal. I think, well, okay. So if the symptoms are minimal, then is the virus minimal? I mean, what is this? And I'm old enough now, and as two of us are anyway, to remember the fervor and the lather about Y2K, and then the fervor and the lather about people were anthrax. They were sending, you know, all this, all, you know, there is a tendency toward overplaying something because, you know, news is sensational. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't exist. You know, there are people that say it's all a hoax. No, I don't believe that. I believe it exists. But I believe in this particular instance, what happened is since we are so into social media now, since you can reach the world from your pocket and the world can reach you from your pocket, bad news or the implied bad news will spread quicker than ever before in the history of our planet. And I think that's what's happened. Because when you really talk to people, people say, well, yeah, it sounds to me like there's not really much to it. You know, I want to be careful, but I just don't see that there's a lot of there. I am washing my hands, but I always wash my hands because, you know, I'm a public person and I shake hands a lot. And if you handle money, wash your hands. But don't be afraid to go outside. In fact, that's where you should be. Open your windows, turn off your air condition. Let's get back to the way our grandparents lived for a little while. Have some fresh air. Filtered by God through these beautiful trees I'm looking at, and relax, breathe easy. And promoters, folks like us that are doing Bo's Extravaganza, we're expecting thousands of people here. We are not going to cancel our event because people are giving in to what I believe is largely fear tactics. We have a wonderful place here where people can hang out with their friends and meet some new ones And if you have something like that going on local in your community, if you've got a weekly farmers market, go to it. Go to it. This is not the end of the world, just as Y2K was not the end of the world, just as all of the things is Carmageddon. You're not in California, but there was a Carmageddon. Oh, my God. They're gonna,
oh, that was no, great, so right?
Dave's, the Mulholland Dave's, Bridge is going to end the world. I mean, come on.
Dave's in the California, so Dave knows these things. And, Dave, what are you seeing in California updating us? This is good. This, is again, will be in the history
shelves,
books.
We can't even buy freaking toilet paper, man. The shelves are empty. We can't buy sanitizer. We can't buy Lysol. It's affecting my life. I just had a national publicity summit in New York canceled because of this virus thing, and so I've got to find out, okay, we were going to spend time with my relatives over there. We haven't seen stuff like this since the last California earthquake where the shelves are empty. I mean, last night was date night. We were going through what movie should we watch on Netflix. Well, we watched Outbreak, okay? Now, you want a bad virus? There's a bad virus. People are dying in 24 hours. Blood's coming out of their nose, their ears, their eyes. People are surviving this. This is about as bad as the common flu, in my opinion.
That's what I think, too.
And John, I'm sorry we got in this conversation, but again, we'll have this in the history books, right? In 10 years, you and I, all of us will be looking back at this interview and saying, are you kidding me? I mean, no March Madness.
Oh, in 5 months.
No,
in
history.
In five months.
Five months.
But in 10 years, we'll be.
All right. But again, to not have March Madness, to have these certain things, you got to. People like you not canceling them, I commend that. Here's the reason why. We, as a free nation, United States of America, we're the only place in the world that we can gather anywhere we want to gather and in public. And we've lost that.
Right.
We've lost sports. We're losing entertainment, meaning the movies that are going to the theaters or different things are being canceled. We still have streaming services, but we're losing the opportunity to gather together. And in 5 months, everything's going to be fine. But let's make sure that we never do this again. Because this
Let me take a couple words out of the history book.
Mm-hmm. We were all afraid to go out because of terrorists.
Go ahead, John.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the anthrax, they're sending it in the mail. Don't open a letter. They killed the United States Postal Service with that single notion. But here is underlying, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist. However, the more you live, the longer you live, the more you look at things and you recognize patterns. Mm-hmm. This is a divide and conquer theory that's going on here. Because if you no longer have public gatherings, you no longer have casual conversation. You no longer have people uniting over their similarities. Mm-hmm. On the internet, you have people dividing over their differences. We need to remain a nation of people who gather together, break bread, have a beer, have a glass of wine, have whatever it is you have, and engage in social intercourse. Discuss the thing with people who disagree with you. There's the important element. Talk every day with someone who has a different opinion so that you can test yours, grow yours stronger, or, dare I say, change it.
Yeah, all the schools are now
risk growth.
And everything's going online. All the classes are going to be online. My National Publicity Summit, where we actually interview guests for the whole year that we have on our radio show. They're going to do that online. I'm afraid they're going to realize, hey, this is cool. We can do everything online. And people are just going to flock online. Nobody's going to do, like you said, the social interaction, the real life handshakes and stuff like that, or elbow bumps, whatever you want to do. It's sad.
Yep. It is sad, and it's going to be a hard thing socially to come back from.
Yeah.
If it's allowed to continue much further.
No, we can't.
I think in the next 2 weeks, someone needs to say, hey, wait a minute. I got it. Take 4 aspirin and call me in the morning.
But you notice it's still okay to gather and vote. They're not discouraging you from doing that. No.
Well, you know, of course. And here's another thing. Another thing is that this is a way to gather the young vote, because they weren't going to go to the polling places anyway. So this is, well, you can't go to the polling places. You're going to have to do it online. It's also a way to hide how many dead people get to vote online. And if we didn't learn from Iowa that whoever is about to design the new voting system for November of 2020, if we didn't learn that they don't know what they're doing, then we didn't learn anything from the last year.
John, this is, so, again, you know, I hope this interview's for the history books. But I mean, if I'm going to go and comment and
hey,
John Schneider for president,
books, please, folks, since you're going to stay inside, yeah, buy our book, My Life, My Way.
Exactly.
And if you're going to watch movies, we have our own streaming platform. It's called Cineflix, DOD. Check out some of that stuff. If you like what we're saying, if you like my sense of humor, our collective sense of humor, then support us. Support
us. Were you at the Duke's events that I saw Catherine at up in Bakersfield and Cooter?
I bowed out of that. I bowed out of that one because they had in their advertising, they took the flag off the top of the car for all of their advertising.
Well, the Confederate flag.
Well, the rebel flag or whichever.
Yeah.
But you know, the General Lee is the General Lee. So I had that. I took issue with that.
So you took a stand. Good for you.
I did, absolutely, and I'm from New York.
and also, John, you have your events, as you talk about your big birthday party, but you are the one that always has the big events every year involving the General Lee and doing the jumps and all the great stuff.
Yes, right. Yep.
So tell us.
We're actually jumping a car over the – I live right on a river called the Tickfaw River. We're jumping a car because we're doing a Smokey and the Bandit tribute film called Stand On It. And we're replicating that great jump in Smokey and the Bandit where they jumped over the river. And we're doing that here on April 5th.
Going so, you know, evil on us, huh?
It's not me. I'm not jumping it. No, a real stunt guy is doing
now,
that.
Now, John, the last question is a really interesting one. Again, involving, we talked all about different healthcare and taking care of people. Well, Dave's mission's a lot better mission, in my opinion, than making everyone fearful about touching and hugging and gathering together. Dave, go ahead and ask your question. John.
Well, it sounds like you've had experience as a caregiver. I've been a caregiver 23 years. My wife all of a sudden had this headache when we were married for 21 years, and it turned into a stroke, turned into speech impairment and paralysis on the right side. She's been this way for 23 years, still can't talk, but she can communicate nonverbally through Pictionary and charades, two games I hate, by the way, but I'm learning to love. She still can't walk. We got her a power chair, and we just decided after a couple of years of grieving to turn our grief into, you know, reinventing our lives. And now we travel all over the world just helping caregivers to stay alive because they're alive or their loved ones do. And you've been a caregiver. You know the stress that's involved in that, right? You saw your father, your mother, your
well,
wife.
Well, but my goodness, though, you've been, that's amazing. You are a, not
well,
a saint,
a
but that's
long-term
your change.
And a short-term caregiver, you know.
Yeah. Well, so
has it affected you is my question, you know, the burnout, the stress?
I think because I'm an actor, actors are weird. we're all a color wheel. All people are a color wheel and we all have a dominant color. What actors can do is we can click up any color to the top dead center that we need to for that time, that role, which is a little odd. But we can also do that to some degree emotionally. So I'm kind of I look at something and we went through the house is burning. Couple of days and then decided, okay, well, we're going to grab this thing by the short hairs and we're going to figure it out. We're going to wrestle with it. And, what's the old saying, or die trying. And there's a strength, I think, for us anyway, for me and for Alicia, there's a strength in deciding, in making that decision and not letting the tail wag the dog. you know, even if we're engaged in something that that looks like it's not going to work, we show up to do a concert and there's four people there. It's like, okay, well, we're going to give the, we have, what we have control over is the show that we do. And we're going to do a show like there's 10,000 people there.
Yeah.
Cause we can do that. And then
we have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
I'll get up there and I'll sing, and somewhere in my mind's eye, I'll see 10,000 people, and I'll give them hell. It'll be great. So, I believe that we are, even when things are out of control, we can find parts of that circumstance that we are control of. And I find great comfort in that. So that's my theory on that. You know, I'm one of the four founders of the Children's Miracle Network. It's called Children's Miracle Network Hospitals.
Oh.
And I've seen some amazing things over our 38 years. We've raised now $7.5 billion for children's hospitals.
Good for you.
And I watch parents eventually make that decision. It's like, oh, hell no. All right, this is not a good circumstance, but by God and all that's holy, we are going to have some effect on it. And we are not going to let it make us sit around and cry.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to find joy in our circumstance somehow, some way, because it's always there. I believe that God puts joy in the worst places for that purpose, so that people who look can find it.
Yeah, well, support is so important to caregivers, and it sounds like you, in your own way, have been providing support to those, encouraging them. I started a membership website, caregiverdave.com, and by going there, they can also get support. You know, I've got tons of resources, tools, videos, blogs, articles, a free coaching session with me to get them on track. So, you know, I just want to keep them alive, keep them out of the hospital.
Absolutely, and keep them with other people. It's so important to be with other people who are in your circumstance.
Exactly.
You know, and that's one of the great things about Children's Miracle Network and children's hospitals in general. There's a parents' room where parents can commiserate.
Good.
Because in their town, they're probably the only people whose child has that. But in that hospital, they're not. And it's thank God. Yeah, thank God somebody, because, you know, people have a tendency to say an awful thing. Oh, I know how you feel. No, you don't. But in a children's hospital or waiting for your drip, somebody in there does.
Oh, my gosh. And the suffering that they go through and what the great work that you do, John. Best place we can find all the information of all the different projects you're doing and everything, John. Where can we go?
You go to johnschneiderstudios.com, johnschneiderstudios.com. And I hope you do, folks. I hope you go there and look around, kick the tires, see what you think. And but go out and meet a new friend today. That's what I want you to do. Go meet somebody today and bump elbows or whatever you want to do. But go meet a new friend today and say, how are you? What are you thinking about today? You know, what's going on? And talk about this crazy stuff that's going on. But talk about it with somebody you haven't met yet. It's a great thing.
Quarantine yourself from your home, yes.
Great. Yeah, you know, like the Cheers bar. Like the Cheers bar.
Great advice. great advice,
everybody,
John.
Knows your name.
Great advice. Don't allow social media to scare you and think that this is the end of the world, especially going and buying up the whole store. And check out, again, your website. I appreciate it, John. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, folks. What a joy this was.
Always great. And you, John, open an invitation anytime to come on my show. So I appreciate you coming.
I so appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, John.
I want to get your books. I want to read your books, too. So please send Barry. Or where can we get your books? What's your website?
CaregiverDave.com.
Yeah.
Go to the media section, the book section, and I've got six books there, actually. Some of them I just, compilation, but I'm working on my fourth book that I actually wrote all by myself. Thank you.
I'll get a hold of it.
All I do, John, is I write for Podcast Magazine. Not written a book yet. When I retire, I'll write a book. Or get to, you know, not now, too busy.
When you're 60, right?
No, I'm never retiring, that's for sure. This is going to drive me nuts.
He's got too many kids to retire.
I have six kids. So, again, this is...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so this is the definite history books interview for sure. We'll be looking back at this and laughing as everything's going to work out. And that's what we have to do as a society say. So I appreciate you guys both calling, and it was a great time chatting.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Take care. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. That was the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment. And you're listening to Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, tolter.net, for more information. Twitter, Tolter, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, Neil Haley, and also on Periscope at Total Tutor. And I'm really excited about my guest today. Because I'd like to talk about childhood, some of the programs he's doing right now, his latest show. So I'm excited to welcome the program celebrity actor Daniel Baldwin. Daniel, thanks for calling, and how are you?
Thanks for having me on, Neil. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and it's great. It's always great getting close to the holidays and all the fun things that happen during the holidays. I have five kids myself, Daniel, and life is crazy, but it's a lot of fun, and it's always great when we talk about Thanksgiving, Christmas coming up for sure. Daniel, when I was thinking about specifically how crazy the Baldwin household was, and was it especially with the number of actors in your family? Tell us a little bit about that story growing up, and like at the dinner table and different things like that.
Well, there was a show in the 70s called Can You Top This? I don't know if you recall this show, but it was a show where comedians came on and somebody would do some antic or some joke or whatever it was, and then the next guy had to with a laugh meter top the predecessor, and so that's kind of like what it was like at my house. You know, it was one person went into the spiel, and then the next one had to top them, and then you expanded on that and so on and so forth. And it hasn't really changed much. You know, we all get together. You know, one person brings up an actor they're working with, if you will, and then the story, you know, spawns another story and another story, and then it's pretty much about captivating the family audience and trying to beat each other, you know, in the laugh factor.
Okay, so a lot of comedy at the dinner table then. it sounds like.
For sure. Yeah, a lot of comedy. And depending on the holiday, so we used to play, and we still occasionally do at our age now, but we played a turkey bowl. Now, the turkey bowl was the granddaddy of football games. It was played on Thanksgiving Day, and then we went to the dinner table after we played this festive football game. So after Alec lost, because usually it was Alec quarterbacked one team and I quarterbacked the other, and then Billy and Steven went on with one of us, and then we took on, you know, the neighborhood kids. Well, I traditionally would slaughter Alec in the turkey bowl. So he turned around, and on Christmas Day one day, he decided to play the Baby Jesus Bowl. So he invents a new bowl game. He invents a new bowl game in order to try to garner a win, and he loses the Baby Jesus Bowl for like 5 or 6 straight years. Now we're, you know, in our late teens, early 20s, and he comes up with the He's a Risen Bowl, which is played on Easter Sunday. So we now have the Turkey Bowl, the Baby Jesus Bowl, and Alec wins the first annual He's a Risen Bowl to get his first bowl game victory. And so, yeah, that's another big tradition in the family, the holiday football game.
So all the brothers, when did you guys first start acting? How old were you?
Well, professionally,
professionally
is a different story than when we actually started. My dad was a high school football coach and a high school teacher in my hometown on Long Island.
Oh,
and so in 1966, he asked the district to buy him an 8mm camera so he could send one of the coaches off to film the opposing team for scouting purposes. And they turned him down and said they didn't have it in the budget. So my father bought that 8mm camera himself. Well, Alec and myself and the Cornelius brothers behind us, this family that lived right over the fence from us, decided that we wanted to use that camera, and we asked my father permission on the property. His rule was 3 rules. You couldn't leave the property. If you broke the camera, you better have the money to fix it. And I wasn't supplying you. My father was never going to supply us any money to buy the film or anything. So we'd go to Peninsula Golf Course and sell nickel cups of iced tea until we procured enough money to buy another roll of 8mm film, and we were back in production. And we made several movies, probably 25, 30 different films. And progressively, they got, you know, more advanced and elaborate and so on. So we knew when we were very little, we were intrigued very much by film, Alec and I. I never thought to myself that my other two brothers would also, because they were much younger than us. In my house, it went 3 and 3. There was Elizabeth, my older sister, and then my brother Alec and myself. And then the next 3 were kind of, you know, the next shift, if you will. We were definitely raised, you know, in 3s, kind of, never really all at 6. We were, by the time my mother and father went through the guinea pig stage of, you know, figuring out what it was to be a parent and so on, they softened and loosened up my father especially, his grip on the family and his strictness. But Alec, Beth, and I, he was really strict with us.
and so a high school teacher, interesting. My wife and I are teachers, so, and we have 5 kids, and that's an interesting story. And I could just see when our two boys, it's like 2 different groups as well, as my oldest daughter is 10 years old, while you go down the line, and our youngest is 1. So it's going to be an interesting type of a group as well. So you grew up in a large, large family. So I definitely would say chaos was definitely part of life in the Baldwin household, not just with dinner, but when you have a big family, it's a different atmosphere. I know this from living it with all my kids now and seeing it, because I was only a child. So this is like a culture shock in a lot of ways, of having this big of a family, and always there's never any quiet, is there?
No. I mean, I can recall things. I went to school in the Midwest, and I mean, in my house, you couldn't say anything. If you said the word ass in my house, you were going to be severely punished. I mean, I never heard my father say damn. I never heard nothing. You could not swear. You could not, you know, and it was really strict. I remember coming home from college and seeing my brother Steven with his friends all in the living room, and there was beer cans. And I looked at the beer cans and I thought, were they drinking in the house? I'll never forget it. I remember walking into my mother's room going, those boys are seniors in high school or juniors in high school, and they were drinking in the house? And my mother said, I'd rather keep. But she I'll never forget, she said, rather than do what you boys did, you and Alec, when you ran around and drove cars, she goes, I'd rather keep them here where I know where they are. And I thought, well, there's time eroding on, you know, on society right there. Because if my father was alive to have seen those kids drinking in that house, he would have killed somebody. He would have killed someone.
That, and I have a feeling that's what will happen. And it's the older we get, Daniel, I'm sure, that, you know, we have this tremendous energy, my wife and I, about when Ava, my youngest, but now it's like, I'm 42, she's 41, and we're like, okay, getting ready to go to work, getting this, and our energy level's going less and less. And then, okay, do we really want to fight and argue? And I'm sure with Alec and yourself, your parents were very strict, but you guys, I'm sure, were not always compliant, were you?
Oh, my God, no. Are you kidding me? We did more terrible things. The fact that my mother came out of that situation without being institutionalized is a miracle. I mean, we did. The cops would show up at my house and knock on the door, and they knew my mother by a first-name basis. I mean, we constantly were doing stuff, you know, silly thing, you know, not really ever to hurt anybody else, you know, but we bring.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Break into the golf course and open the window and climb in and open the door, open the garage door and drive around all night with 25 golf carts with our friends and just leave them abandoned all over the course. And sure enough, they'd call the cops and the cops would come right to the Baldwin doorstep and go, were the kids on the golf course last night? Because there's 25 missing golf carts right now. You know, we leave them out on streets and people's homes. And oh yeah, we were fun, wild.
Interesting. Okay, so when you decided to do this professionally, Alec was first, then you second for professional acting?
You know, I went to college, and then my oldest daughter was born, and I delayed my. So I think Billy and I kind of started around the same time. Billy modeled for a little while. I didn't really start until my late 20s. Stephen, ironically, it was the only one that didn't go to college, and he kind of went right into it, so... You know, Billy, Steven, and I all started acting almost around the same time. But Alec definitely started first, for sure.
And then what
he's
would you
old,
say, especially if
old,
Alec starts... Yeah, go ahead. We're gonna say.
He's the old man.
And is it hard following Alec when you're, like, going for auditions and different things and saying, okay, you know, and especially if they've worked with Alec before or they know who Alec is when you go for auditions.
You know,
especially at the beginning.
I'd be lying to say it's on a double-edged sword. And here's one of the things. Number one, Alec has never been shy to use, you know, his political views and his opinions on things and so on and so forth. So, you know, there are those people that really love him and those people who don't like him at all. So if you run into some of the people that don't like him at all, your chances, because we look and sound quite a bit alike, of being selected for that role are pretty slim. It's going to be used against me. And then there's people that love him, you know, and lying, I'd be lying to say that his popularity doesn't vault me, you know, guilt by association in some ways. I'll tell you this, though. I don't think it's ever gotten me a job, but certainly having three famous brothers can be very advantageous. You know, we're seen as one in many cases. But I have a great story for you, though, you speak early on career-wise. So John Sayles is doing the movie Eight Men Out, the baseball film. And I'm in the waiting room. I'm going in to read for this film. And the casting director's door is cracked open here. And all I hear her say is, no, he can't do it. He's doing some other movie. But I got his brother here right now. And his brother actually played baseball in high school. He's a much better athlete. So let's see how he does. So now, of course, I hear this. And I've surmised from it that they wanted Alec for this role. And I know it's to play Chick Gandell, the first baseman. In the scene, I think Michael Rooker eventually played the role and played it very well. But in the scene, he walks up to these guys in the bar and he tells them this boxing story. And he tells them this boxing story because he wants them to know he's, hint, 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 willing to throw the World Series also, and that he wants in on the money. So in the scene, he says, you know, I'm dancing around in the ring and I'm walking around on something underneath my feet, and it's the guy's teeth I just knocked out of his head. He said, now if we were smart, I'd have hit him a few times, and I stood up and threw two lefts. And I said, I'd have hit him a few times, pow, pow. And I said, pow, pow, and threw two left jabs. I said, and he hits me a few times, pow, pow, and I take two right hands to the side of my face and snap my head back like I'm getting hit. And then I went, you know, and later on we meet and we split the money 50-50, and I wiped my two hands, like, as if to say, all gone. And we split the money 50-50, and nobody gets hurt. Now, the pow-pow and the standing up and the jabbing are not in the script. And the getting smacked in the face twice and saying pow-pow are not in the script. So I read this, and I get called back in by John Sayles himself, who says, I see that you rehearsed this with your brother Alec. You must have known that we wanted him, right? And I looked at the guy and I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I said, I overheard the casting director. I have to say, I got excited because I do play baseball and I played in high school. And I said, so if you wanted Alec, and Chick Gandell is described as the strongest hands, I'm bigger and I'm stronger than him. So there's no shame in your game, Daniel. You can tell us you rehearsed this. It's obvious you rehearsed it. I looked at him and I said, I did not rehearse this, nor did I ever mention this to my brother. He went, Barbara, could you throw Alec Baldwin's tape in? At the same exact instant, Alec stood up. He threw two lefts and said pow pow. He took two rights and said pow pow and shaked the two hands and rubbed them together and said, and nobody gets hurt. And I'm looking with my mouth open at this guy, trying to get this guy to believe that I didn't rehearse this with my brother. And God is my witness, our same four improvs were identical in the scene.
Oh, my. You know what the reason is? It's because of you guys doing so many in-house movies together growing up, making your own homemade movies and performing with each other. You taught each other how to act.
Yeah, it's all of that stuff. There's funny times when I watch his work and I watch something and I know when it wasn't in the script, I know that's just him doing it. And so I'll call him and I'll say, hey, blah, blah, blah. And he'll go, yeah, no, I made that up. And I go, I knew you made that up. And I can just tell that there are things that we would do.
Interesting. Again, we're talking to Daniel Baldwin, and I love the stories. And I know sometimes you don't get the opportunity to tell those stories. You'd have a fantastic book, tell you, if you've not written one yet. Your memoir would be very, very interesting, because people love to know about stories, and you're a great storyteller. Would you say the rest of the Baldwin brothers are great storytellers as much as you are? Because, I mean, I could be talking to you for hours. I could just tell. I mean,
I think when you're vying for attention, because there's only a certain amount of time that each person can speak. So when you come out of a household of expressive people that are vying for attention, I think everyone has their own niche. I think that Alec, I like listening to him tell stories because, you know, he and I will have a tendency to do voices with them and impersonations of people that we've seen along the way while you're telling the story. We used to play a great game in Central Park. We would walk in, and it was an observation acting game where we would, if it was my turn to pick, Neil, then we both walk through, you know, the park for a little while, and then I'd start going, him. And you'd go, and you know, and it would be some homeless guy who had, you know, Tourette's or whatever it was, and you'd be like, "Come on, man, don't make me do that one." And so, to punish the person, you'd make them do somebody who was really obscure and way out there, because you had 5 minutes to observe the person, and then I'd say, "Clock's on now," and you had to become the person. And if anyone came up to you that you knew, you could not break character. You had to stay in character. Now, we were allowed to do a mercy thing where you look at the person and go, okay, off, and then you could interact with the person. So I'll never forget one time, John F. Kennedy Jr., who we used to play football with in the park all the time, Alec and I were playing the game, and he was this guy who was, you know, like, yeah, you know, making all these noises and all this great stuff. And so JFK rides up on the on his bicycle, and he goes, "Hey, what's up?" And I say, "Hey, Johnny, how you doing?" And he looks over at Alec, and Alec just gives me the look like, "Don't do this to me." And I just kept shaking my head. And so he starts making the noises. And Kennedy looks at him and goes, "Are you okay, then?" And, you know, "My mom said, blah, blah," and he's talking about some event that they're going to do. And I gave him no mercy. And so when the 10 minutes were over, we almost came to blows in the park. He was so mad at me for not letting him off the hook. But I was enjoying it so much, I didn't do it.
Oh, wow. And that's right, getting the expression. And I already can see it. My first daughter is just like, you know, if we're going to be a bunch of talkers and a bunch of entertainers. And, Daniel, I'm a former professional wrestler, minor leagues, never made it to the WWE full-time, but I wrestled. So I was kind of like to the minor leagues. My wife did acting. My wife did this, that, and the other. And my daughter's a big one, sings in the choir and stuff. But see, all the kids are trying to figure out their niche, how they can get a word in edgewise in a big family. And so that's why that's why a big family is a great thing, because kids get to, they're never going to be someone that aren't going to be able to go out and talk to people. And that's success in life. You can't communicate with others, regardless of your book smart. You're not going to get that job. You're not going to get that opportunity. And that's the great thing of big families, which we don't see a lot of anymore. So I didn't know that it was also a family of six. And did you share bathrooms too? How many bathrooms were there in the house?
Two bathrooms in the house, and you know, the girls were spread out. So Beth was the oldest and Jane was the second youngest, so there really wasn't a huge connection between them and tying them in the bathroom. Beth was my oldest sister, was my mom's right hand man, so you know, she was kind of the enemy. We always looked upon her as a rat. She was gonna tell on us. She was like having another mom. So we were Alec and I usually, you know, were opposed to Beth. My father was very strict, you know, there was no ever touching the girls. You couldn't really talk back to them. You know, I mean, if you did any of that stuff, you had to face my father, and he's pretty tough. So, you know, the bathroom stuff, the girls always had the right of way. You know, if they were in there, if they had to use it, you had to wait. So we didn't run into a lot of bathroom stuff. I'd say it was more we scrambled for food. You know, my dad, he was a high school teacher. You know, if you didn't get down there early and get in that cereal, your chances of getting something, you had to eat something else. That box of cereal was devoured like locusts that hit that table.
It's terrible about the food, especially I'm 6'10". Daniel, and when I go and I get home sometimes late from work because of tutoring kids and coming home, and I'm like, what the heck? There's no food for me. Oh, my wife's like, I left this for you. I said, that could feed one of the kids, one of the little kids, not me. And that's right. That's the stories of big families. All right, so what would you say was your greatest accomplishment acting and producing? Like, give me one of each. And then I want to get into specifically how you battled addiction and your latest projects. There's a lot we have to talk about, and you definitely give a lot of information. And it's phenomenal because I think people don't get the chance to hear from you like today. So I think that's great.
Yeah, Well, I don't know that you can ever really say what's your best or most important, but I have a movie right now that's just going to market. It's been in 11 film festivals. I shot the film for $60,000. I wrote it, I directed it, I produced it, and I acted it. And I just went and played cards last night with Lou Diamond Phillips, who was so gracious as to appear in this film, and my brother Billy.
Wow.
It's been in 11 film festivals and won Best Picture 11 times. which...
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history. This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.